Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, let's pray and we'll get going here. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is health and medicine to all our flesh. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Your word is life. Your word is strength to us. Lord, your word revives us. It stirs us up. It brings us understanding. It transforms the way we think. We are thankful for all these promises. We receive these promises, Lord. We don't have a dead, dry religion. We have a relationship with you. By the Holy Spirit and by your Son Jesus and through his blood, we have access to the throne room, and we are so grateful for it, Lord. Father, you sent the Holy Spirit to us, and you said that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that he would lead us and guide us into all truth, that he would remind us things that Jesus said to us, and that he would show us things to come. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, tonight, that you speak to us by your word. I just yield myself to you, and I ask for utterance, words, the right words to speak, with boldness to speak as you would in the nature by your Spirit, speaking the truth in love. And we depend on you, Lord. We depend on you to bring us understanding. Holy Spirit, enlighten our minds, open our eyes so that we may see truth. And as we hear and listen and receive, we'll not only receive information and revelation, but we will be doers of what we receive. We'll act upon what we receive. And we know as we do that we will be blessed because it's your promise and you are always faithful and good. So we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to go ahead and open to, I'm going to have you just kind of pre-open to Proverbs 4, and I'm going to review just a little bit here. The last time we were together, which was actually 2 weeks ago, which is sometimes hard to believe that happened, but we went to Cannon Beach and came back, so it was great. We had a good time, so we appreciate you letting us leave. Not like you really had much of a choice. But it is a blessing to be able to go and be ministers need to be ministered to. So, you know, when I show up to church on Sunday or Wednesday, I never think about just sitting down and listening. I always think, what's my responsibility? Church changed for me after I graduated Rhema, because after I graduated Rhema, it was no longer just show up. It was serve, 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 serve. And so that's what we've done for, 99 is when I graduated, so almost 18 years. We've served in some capacity somewhere, whether it be ushering or, I mean, I think I've done about everything except for change diapers, and I'm holding out. I'm not joining the nursery ministry, so it's good for us to get away and just have somebody who minister to us who has, I think Mark Hankins been in the ministry for, well, since he was born, because his dad was a pastor. And so, and then he'd been in full-time ministry, I think 40-plus years is what he said. So that's always good to get that, you know, different perspective. And a seasoned veteran, one that's made it far and continues to keep going. So it was good, and he was real funny. It was just good ministry all the way around. Holy Spirit moved, and it was good. And we had good fellowship with the leaders, and you get a walk on the beach, and it's not raining, and it's sunny out, yeah, and the tide's going in and out, and you can, it's great over there. So it was just beautiful. So good times. And I figured out, just in case you're wondering, if you feed one bird, the rest will show up. So Mike found the place where we were staying. Mike found just bread that was left there, I guess, and then a bunch of ice cream cones. You know, like the little, the colored ones. So they were green and red and all, well, I don't know all the way, but I was feeding those to the birds. So crows, turns out crows and seagulls do not get along. But you can have some fun. It reminded, how many remember that old movie, The Birds? The horror movie, Birds or whatever it was? Was it called The Birds or Birds? Birds. Who was it? Alfred Hitchcock. Okay, yeah. It kind of reminded me of that. Only I didn't get attacked, so, which was good. Yeah, they did. They go after each other. You know, one to get something in its mouth, and the other one to go after it, and I was entertained. So, so yeah, it doesn't take much to entertain me. So anyway, it was good. So I just want to review, since we have had a little bit of a break here, and I just want to go over just a couple of things that I did mention last week toward the end. We were talking about seed and the importance of seed, and the importance of standing on the word once you've received the seed of the word. You know, as I was reviewing some of this stuff, I was thinking about the parable of the sower and what the scripture talks about in regards to the word of God being seed and hanging on to truths. There are so many parallels in the scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that deal with being watchful over what God has given you, and being watchful over his word. Because so much, and I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you ever want to do an interesting study, look through the scripture and see how many times the Lord says, pay attention, focus, don't be distracted, don't be double-minded, pursue me with everything, seek me with all your heart. I mean, there's these phrases that are constantly given through the Old Testament and the New Testament about being on guard all the time and being aware of what's going on around you spiritually, because the enemy, you know, the enemy is not so impressed with us as Christians. Did you know that? It's not that we're just so impressive to him. Outside of Christ, we can do nothing. Outside of Christ, humans to him are probably like, you know, pawns. He can pretty much influence about anything in people's lives. But inside of Christ and the word of God is what he's after. Persecution comes for the word's sake, is what the scripture talks about. And the enemy comes to steal that word out of your life. Now, if he can't do it just by coming along and seeding a thought into you that says, you know, that's really not for today, or that's not for you, or you can't really have that. You know, years ago, a popular saying in a lot of religious circles was, you know, those promises were for the Jews. Promises in the scripture, it was common that you heard, and this is common today too. You know, those things ended when Jesus died and the apostles left. Well, no, God didn't die. You know, God didn't die. He's still God. And so, and I never have figured out how they pick and choose which ones are which. Honestly. You know, I mean, how do you decide? Because there's no scripture that says that. I've looked for it. I can't find it anywhere. There's no scripture that says it. And so how do you pick and choose? Well, basically what humans do, and it's our tendency to do this because it's easier not to walk in faith than it is to walk in faith. It's easier to just follow the flow of the world because there's so much sin and darkness, and then we're born into it. And it's the nature of our flesh to want to see, and I want to know, and I got to have it in my hands, and, you know, all that stuff. But when it comes to those things and when it comes to faith, basically what has happened is when people feel like they acted on the word or they feel like they did what God told them to do and it didn't turn out the way they said God said it would, then they automatically assume that God quit being God. They don't automatically assume, which to me is the logical answer, I missed it somewhere. God's not missing it. If anybody's missing it in this relationship, it's me. Okay? I mean, we proved that from the beginning. Right? Adam and Eve proved it from the start. And we all, every one of us, until you're born again, have that same nature. And even after you're born again, your flesh still has that same nature. It still desires to do things that it's not supposed to. Now, that varies from person to person, and I believe that's why the scripture talks about and gives us so much detail on what the desires of the flesh are. Not only does Paul go through this long list of what the deeds and the desires of the flesh are, at the end he puts, and the like. So anything similar to this, you know, which I find very amusing. I find a lot of things in the Bible amusing. I find a lot of Jesus' ministry amusing, to be honest with you. I was reading through things yesterday, getting ready for tonight, and I'm going, oh my goodness. If this ever happened in a church service, they'd be called a cult. They would be, and it was Jesus that did it. And they called him a cult, too, so, I mean, you know. But anyway, So I just find it interesting because it is the tendency of man to walk away and to separate. It's easy to separate yourself from faith if you allow it. So you got to stay focused. And part of that is with seed. So seed, we talked about this. Seed is powerless until it is planted. Many, instead of saying, pray for me, talking specifically about healing here, should first say, teach me God's word so that I can intelligently cooperate for my recovery. I love that. I love that statement. And I've told you this before. I'm going about this the boring way. You know, the Pentecostal way in a lot of circles is, woo, teach for 15 minutes and then lay hands on everybody. Boom! And knock them on the floor and da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? And you say, are you against those things? Not against any of it. I've been in wild services. I've been knocked on the floor before by the power of God. And we have many scriptures that talk about the power of God manifesting in the scripture and people falling like dead men, different things like that. So that still happens today. Nothing new. Doesn't scare me. Not afraid of it at all. But there is a principle on the backside of that where if you seed the word, 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 water it, water it, water it, water it, water it, you'll begin this process of seed time and harvest in your life where if you know the healing scriptures, you can begin the process of seeding that word and then receiving the healing from that word. Okay? And the other side of this, which is really great, is that you become strong individually. You don't become codependent on a minister. Okay? Not that that's wrong, because that's why we're here. But ministers, and sometimes people just need Jesus in someone else. You know what I mean? They just need that help, which is, we're here for. But ministry and ministers, their primary purpose is to train you up to develop, to grow, to develop into the fullness of Christ. That's the primary purpose of a minister. It's not to make you dependent on them. Do you know there are a lot of ministries that try and do that? They want to keep people kind of in that milk stage of Christianity because they don't want them to grow, because they're afraid they'll leave or something. You know, they're insecure ministers. Well, they may start a ministry. Okay. Big deal. You didn't call me. You can't mess up my call. Okay? You know what I mean? That's kind of my take on it. But not only that, as ministers, our goal is that you develop into what God has called you to do. And that, a lot of times, for most people, is not a ministry, like what you see me doing. It's not. A lot of times, it's serving in different areas, discipling. It is teaching on an individual discipleship basis. So paying attention to that word and seeding that word is the strong way to go about this. And it takes a little bit longer, but the results are greater. And so that's why I've been going about it this way. And I was thinking about it last night. I was thinking, you know, if I taught on this for the rest of the year and then into next year, because I don't know, you guys probably don't realize, you know how much material there is on healing? Oh, I'm talking about scriptures. I'm going to just share a little bit with you tonight. Just a little bit. There are, well, we'll get into it. I could go for years on just that subject. Just that subject. I mean, what would we be like if we stayed on divine healing for 3 years? You know, people are like, well, you know, our generation would get bored. Nobody ever gets bored of being healthy. Nobody ever does. I don't know anybody that does. I just don't know anybody that does. You know, who ever gets tired of feeling good? Right? But this is what God's word does. I'm not telling you what I promise. I'm telling you what God said. It's not me that can do it. I can't do nothing. But God in you and his word is more than enough for you. So I don't know. I think about these sometimes. But anyway, he says this. He talks about being, so you can basically learn God's word so that you can intelligently cooperate for your recovery. We must know that the benefits of Calvary are before what they are before we can appropriate them by faith. David specifies the benefits of Calvary in the Psalms, and he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. After being sufficiently enlightened, our attitude toward sickness should be the same as our attitude toward sin. Our purpose to have our body healed should be as definite as our purpose to have our soul healed. We should not ignore any part of the gospel. Our substitute both bore our sins and our sicknesses that we might be delivered from them. Christ's bearing of our sins and sicknesses is surely a valid reason for trusting Him now for deliverance from both. When in prayer, we definitely commit to God the forgiveness of our sins. We are to believe on the authority of His word that our prayer is heard. We are to do the same when praying for healing. After being sufficiently enlightened by the promises of God, then by simply believing that our prayer is heard, before we have yet experienced the answer, now you got to think about that, we are to believe that our prayer is heard before we experience the answer. Now let me help you. That is faith. That's faith. Now your head will fight you on that. But when you understand these principles, you can ignore your natural mind on it and say, no, Lord, I'm just going to stick with what you said. I prayed about this. You said, if I pray, you hear me. You said, if I believe, I have what I prayed for. I believe it. Eventually, your circumstance will catch up to your faith. And people say, well, then what do I do when I see it? You're no longer in faith because you have it. Come on. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes, well, I'm believing God for it. Well, you got it. What are you going to believe God for? You know what I mean? Faith ends when you see it. So when the devil comes to you and says, oh, you didn't get it, you say, oh, yeah, I already got it, devil. How do you know? Because I believed. Well, you don't see it. I know exactly. I believed. Yeah, but you don't see it yet. I know that's, I'm in faith. You have to develop this kind of, because you're going to have to talk to yourself and you're going to have to talk to the enemy. Because he's going to come against you. Well, there's no way that anybody can, you know, be that blessed. I'm already that blessed, devil. It's too late. Well, how do you know that? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, this is 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. That even though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that by through you through his poverty might be made rich. I don't have to get it. I already got it. My faith is in action and it is going to manifest. People say, well, you're going to be rich. The word rich means filled to the full. You can be filled to the full. People go, well, we don't want any of that dirty money. Well, then just give it to me. I'll take care of it for you. I won't let it rule me. You know, people talk, I have weird ideas about money because, you know, but they work for it every week. I don't know. All right, so we need to get our thinking straight on some of these things. So that's how faith works. After being sufficiently enlightened by the promise, then by simply believing that our prayer is heard before we have yet experienced the answer, as Jesus commanded in Mark 11, 24, and following this with the observance of Hebrews 10, 35, and 36, we can always bring to pass the fulfillment of any divine promise. Always, always, always. It is God's will for every Christian to successfully practice Hebrews 6, 11, and 12, which says this, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I am to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Find you a faith person that has inherited promises by patience and then imitate what they do. The Bible's full of them. Read Hebrews 11, start picking them out and start reading through what they've done. And they go, I'm going to do it like that and I'm going to do it like that and I'm going to do it like that and I'm going to imitate that and that and that. Come on. David, in the face of Goliath, did not go, oh God, what are we going to do? He said, I'm going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed you to the birds. Boy, that's violent. Well, it's faith. Jesus called it faith. Fortunately today, we're not allowed to, we're not supposed to attack flesh. Some days I feel like we should be able to, you know, I could join David's mighty men, draw a sword, take out a few enemies, you know, but today we fight the enemy spirits. We're fighting evil spirits. So we don't battle against flesh and blood, but you can speak to the enemy of your soul the way David did to Goliath. Because you have authority in the name of Jesus. Okay? So you have that authority. And you're not doing it just out of, you know, because you're so great, but you're doing it because your Lord told you to do it. He commanded you to. Okay? So, between the time we definitely commit to God the healing of our body and the completion of our healing, we can and should learn on one of the most valuable lessons of our Christian life. And that lesson is how to observe Hebrews 10, 35, and 36. So I'm going to look at that real quick. I'm just going to read it to you. You can stay where you're at. But if you want to jot it down, or you can turn there, it's up to you. If you're feeling fast. I'll just read it to you real quick. Hebrews 10, 35, and 36 says this. Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Okay? For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God. Listen to this now. And thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. Come on, how many want to enjoy to the full? I'm going to enjoy to the full. Now listen, that doesn't work for people that wish it would. It works for those who do it. Okay? All right. So, and everybody has that capability. Only divine promises can make our faith steadfast. God's promises work their wonders while we see and act on eternal realities, on his promises, his faithfulness, and refuse to be affected by temporal things to the contrary. God always fulfills his promises when he can get the right cooperation. God always fulfills his promises when he can get the right cooperation. He always accepts us and undertakes for us when we observe Mark 11, 24 and Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. And the result is Psalms 91, 16, which says, with long life I will satisfy him or you. With long life I will satisfy you. Okay? And God's promise is appropriated as it's appropriated by all. So in other words, as we put our trust in him, as we put our faith in his word, he then acts on our behalf. It starts as faith, it continues in faith, and when manifestation comes, then faith ends. But I will say this, you'll always be standing on some promise. Now, it doesn't have to be healing, you understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to walk in love, and that's every day. And the Bible actually says that that's a debt that you never fully pay. You always owe it. Isn't that interesting? You always owe it. Okay. Instructions on receiving healing from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4. Okay, we'll go back to Proverbs 4 now. Some more instruction on receiving healing from the Word of God. Now this is, we've given some background here for a while. Now I'm going to get into just one healing scripture after another. It's going to be good. This is where faith comes. Now, when I'm teaching this, teaching is not the most exciting thing, but as you're hearing the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. It doesn't come by having heard. Okay? Faith comes by hearing. Okay? All right. Proverbs 4, verse number 20, says this. Now, this could be my son or my daughter. It's genderless in that sense. It says, give attention to my words. Okay? We're going to get into this focus thing. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21. Do not let them, who? Me and you. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, which really, that idea is in the center. Okay, you know, sometimes we think heart, we think of our what pumps blood through us. But it's really, the word has more of the idea of like the heart of a watermelon. Your center, okay, which is really your spirit and your soul, the two, okay. I don't have time to teach that, but that's what it is. Okay? So keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, keep them, the seed planted in your spirit, and keep the word renewing your mind, your soul. Okay? Verse 22. For they are, what? Life to those who find them. Well, I just want it to work for me. You got to find them. We have a responsibility as believers to find those scriptures. True disciples don't let anything hold them back from close fellowship with the Lord. They don't. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on. God is your number one. And you have to find them. And then the second part of that is what? And they are health to all their flesh. The scripture says right here, it's health to what? Is anybody confused about what their flesh is? It's your physical body. Okay? Flesh is, it's the part of you that dies. The rest of you doesn't. Whether you're saved or not. Okay? Your spirit is eternal. Your soul goes with. They're together. Let me help you with this. Your soul is not your brain. Your brain is the physical organ that your soul operates through. Just like your heart is the physical organ that your spirit and soul operate through. I am looking through two windows called eyes. Paul said this, Peter said this, I'm going to put off my tent, my body. Okay? So Paul, and the scripture is interesting on that subject, but you're basically a spirit inside of a body. That's what you are. That's why you don't have to be afraid to die when you're saved. Because you just slip out of your body and go to heaven. Just like that. It's just that separation. You know? The only part of you that's even concerned about it is your flesh. Okay? So it's health to your flesh. Healing is a restoration or reviving of the body. Okay? Healing is a restoration or a reviving of the body. Healing is a process and it can take some time. Okay? So let's think about that thought for just a second. What do you mean it could take some time? You plant a seed, you water the seed, what eventually happens? That seed begins to produce a body or a stalk to that seed. And then eventually you have what off of that seed? A harvest, right? So healing is the same way. So think about healing like this. You know, sometimes people say, well, I went up, I got prayed for, but nothing changed. Seed, water, healing is a restoration of the physical body. Sometimes it can take a little time. Especially, I'll tell you this, especially if you've never heard about divine healing very much. If you've never really studied it, I'm not talking about like you listen to your favorite series over and over again. I'm talking about you took time, you got the scriptures, you went into them over and over and over again. You looked at them, you studied them, you meditated them, you inclined your ear, you paid attention, you didn't let them depart from you, you kept them, you found them. Then healing begins that process of restoration. Sometimes people think, well, yeah, but I used to be strong and then I went and I got weaker and I got sick and I went this direction. Well, let me ask you, let me put it to you like this. If it went one way, it can go the other. Okay? Does that make sense? I'm living proof. And sometimes people don't realize, I should dig up some old pictures of me. I mean, from like high school. I mean, if you saw me, you go, yeah, he's living proof. From then to now. Why? Healing, 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 the Word, just being in the Word. I changed my lifestyle altogether. It wasn't just that I quit doing, you know, drinking and doing drugs. Okay? I mean, that helps, you know. You know, it could be hard on your body, you know. But it wasn't just that. And it wasn't just that I, you know, like I all of a sudden got, you know, the greatest multivitamin ever. Okay? I'm not against multivitamins or eating right. I think it's a good idea. Take them. I take vitamins, of course. You go, of course. But I'm not depending on vitamins. I'm depending on the Word of God. And the Word of God is what restored me as I listened, as I heard, as I gave myself to it. It was healing to all my flesh. healing to all my flesh. One of the greatest healings I ever had in my life was just repenting and getting right with God. I mean, that'll help you because you're no longer under the weight of sin. Here we have a comprehensive instruction on how to receive healing from the Word. Really, this principle could be applied generally in any area of the promise from the of promises from the Word of God. So you could use the same principle in any area of promise. Wherever the area is that Christ has purchased for you, you could use the same principle and it would work for you. So you give attention to the Word of God. You incline your ear to what He says. You do not let it get out of your sight. And then finally, you keep them in the midst of your heart. You must take time to find the promises of God. And notice that the promise then is what? Health and medicine to all your flesh. In order for us to derive the benefit of the promise, we must hear, receive, and attend to. There will be no benefit if any of these steps are ignored. This passage reveals to us the divine method of receiving the blessings which God has provided for us. Many have failed to receive healing simply because they have not followed the method. They just ignore the word. Or how many have done this? How many of you noticed that it's the nature of your flesh to go, well, I just want it. Just hurry up. We're that way. We're kind of we're a fast food generation. We're a fast food culture. You know, have you ever sat down and, you know, I've done this before, but have you ever sat down or you eat somewhere or do something like that and most of your meals have been like fast food type things and then like you go to your grandma's house and she makes real food? And you're like, how could this taste so good? Well, because you've been eating cardboard up until then. You know what I mean? It is that way. And that's our culture. Well, this is more convenient. Yeah, but this tastes better. And so you're going to have to carve out time and carve out, find ways to feed yourself. Find ways to focus and incline and hear and know what God is saying to you. And get it in you and get it in you. And people say, well, how will I know when I've got it in me sufficiently? You won't fear the flu season anymore. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. It is exactly that way. It is amazing. In fact, for me, there are times where, because faith comes by hearing, you don't even realize what it's doing when you're feeding on the Word. And then all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I'm not afraid. Because you're so full of the Word, which is faith, and peace and joy and everything that God is, that the fear gets displaced. The fear gets displaced. How many have ever poured milk into a glass, drank the milk, and then went to rinse the glass out? What's in the glass? Milk and water. Yeah, skim milk. Skim milk, which is just water milk. But if you have a glass there and it's a clear glass and you just keep running that water in there, what eventually happens? All the milk goes out. It's the same principle with the Word. If you feed on the Word and feed on the Word and feed on the Word and just keep feeding on the Word, come on, where's your area of need? How many scriptures address that need? I mean, a lot of times, it's hundreds. That'll keep you busy. But once you get those hundreds in you, the enemy goes, don't bother. Look how big their shield of faith is in that area. Does that make sense? Okay. That'll help you see that. So you apply that principle in healing, okay? So, here is a breakdown of the three essential truths described here. There must be the attentive ear. Give attention or incline your ear. To attend, the word attend, means to give heed. It means to mark well. Mark well. Okay? It means to mark well. So you're attending, you're, you know, and that's where, I don't think this is where this comes from, but if you, you know, in your Bible, mark it, highlight it, circle it, put stars by it, do whatever you do to make you remember and focus. Write in your Bible, mark it well. This is who I am. This is what the Lord has said about me. I declare this over my life in the name of Jesus. Satan, I submit to this scripture and I resist you with it. Okay? The Word of God is working in me as health and medicine to all my flesh. It is working in every nerve. It is working in every joint. It is working in every organ. It is working in every muscle. Come on. It's working in my teeth. It's working in my ears. It's working in my eyes. Why? Because it is health and medicine to all my flesh. It is removing pain. It is removing sickness and disease. And it's not just like a floating word. It is the actual resurrection, the Holy Spirit of Christ living in you, quickening your body. Quickening your body. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm old. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. And people go, well, you know, how long am I supposed to live? Until you're satisfied. If you're satisfied, go home. You can choose. Did you know that? You can choose. People say, oh, no, you can't. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I want to go home to be with the Lord, but it's more needful that I stay and be here with you. So I'm going to stay. He chose. Do you know there are cases of people that were real young and they just died and they don't even know why? There was a guy at Rhema when I was there. He was like 34. He died vacuuming. I don't think it had anything to do with vacuuming. But they could not figure out why. You know, and I make a joke about that. People are like, oh, don't joke about death. Why? He's in heaven for eternity. I will see him again. He is doing better than I am. He has no cares at all right now. He's enjoying forever strength, life, and energy. No sin at all. Death is nothing to us. Jesus has conquered it. He has made it as nothing. He has put it under our feet. There would be no death if there wasn't sin. It is God and him are, you know, people think, well, if they go, then where will they? They'll be in heaven and you'll go join them after a while. Hallelujah. You know, I have four grandparents in heaven right now. I got to preach three of their funerals. I cried when my grandparents died. You know, there's some natural, you know, but I'm not wondering where they're at. I know exactly where they're at. In fact, we've switched roles. I'm now headed toward them. I'm in a good place. I'm going to get to heaven and they go, Sean, you did work for the Lord. I said, yeah, thank you for praying for me. But I'm going to make sure that semi-truck's backing up when it's reward time. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. And we're just getting started good. All right. So we need to mark it well. We need to give heed to it. Incline means this. I love this. To turn. Incline. What am I? I'm going to turn from what I'm looking at in sickness and turn to the Word of God and focus. Think about this. This is also what it means. To bend. I like this. I'm going to incline, so I'm going to bend. How many have ever had, like my kids when they were littler, smaller, you know, they come and, daddy, daddy, and what do? You bend. Grandkids, huh? Okay. If your spouse is short. Sorry. Need to move on here. To bend. In other words, you're focusing on something. You're inclining to something. What am I inclining to? To a healing promise. And then when something else tries to get your attention, you go, no, I already turned. I already bent. I'm staying here. You're staying focused on that promise. So to bend, it means to turn aside. I like that. It means to bend down. In other words, you're taking time to focus on one specific thing. You're taking time to focus on one specific thing. As we bend down and mark well the words of healing that are given to us in the Word of God, it begins and continues the process of healing in our bodies. God said this was part of in the healing process. This was our part in the healing process. So don't depart. Now, this is going to sound a little bit, it's going to sound exactly the opposite of inclining. What he's saying is to depart means to turn aside. So once you turn to, don't turn aside from. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay focused. Don't get sluggish. Don't get impatient. Don't get, oh God, why? If you feel down, get back to the Word. Get after it. Get after it. Get after it. Make yourself sit there. Your body will change its mind as the anointing settles on you. Okay. It means to be, this is interesting, to depart means to be lost from view. To be lost from view. In other words, how many have looked at healing strongly for a season and it was great, and then after a while you lost view of it, and then now the enemy tried to come in again. Have you ever seen that happen? Okay. All right. So don't lose the view of it. There are so many parallels here with the parable of the sower. Many times we lose out on the promises of God because other things come into our lives and we lose sight of God's promises and end up walking into the traps of the enemy. Many times people have their attention focused on the symptoms and the problems. Whatever has your focus has your faith. Right? What are you talking about? Words are a great indicator of what's in your heart. Jesus said what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Words are a great indicator of what's in your heart. What's on your mind? What's on your mind? I just had this on my mind. It's just on my mind. You can control your mind. You can decide what you want. Your mind is your mind. I know that's a deep thought. Okay, I don't have any explanation beyond that. It's your mind, you choose. What do you want it full of? If Fox News makes you mad, don't watch it. Or the other ones, I don't know, any of them. You know what I mean? And some people say, well, I like Fox News because that's my bent, that's my angle. Yeah, but they're talking to you about things that make you mad. You know what I mean? If your blood pressure goes way up, okay? So what I'm saying is that whatever you feed on will come out of you. You know, some people I talk to, the only thing that comes out of them is Rush Limbaugh. Why? Because they believe in the gospel of Rush Limbaugh. I'm not against Rush Limbaugh. He has his place. But listen, I'm not going to be full of him or his thoughts. Well, people say, he believes in God. Big deal. The devil believes in God. Rush Limbaugh's not the devil, okay? I'm not saying that. All right. I'm just saying, what I'm saying is that I'm not commanded to follow them. I'm commanded to follow Jesus and be full of his words. And as I do that, then those words come out of me. Literally to the point where it can come out your skin. Where the anointing can be so strong in you that you change the atmosphere where you go because of God with you. And people say, well, I don't know about Jesus. People touched Jesus' laundry and got healed. You say, what do you mean by that? Touched the hem of his garment. And they got healed. Why? Because the anointing was in the clothes. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in that. Really? What about in the Old Testament when the prophet was dead and they threw a dead man on his bones and the dead man came to life? The anointing resides in bones. It could reside in you. Same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. Right now. Amen? Okay. Keep these words. Keep these words. Keep means to hedge about, to guard and protect. Have you ever noticed that these words will try and be stolen? Okay. It means to preserve them, to save them, to keep them. What words are you keeping? I'm keeping his promises. How are you keeping them? I'm putting a hedge about them. What does that mean? That means you can't, you will not let your family talk you out of them. You will not let your friends talk you out of them. You will not let other Christians talk you out of them. You will not let any leader of any denomination talk you out of them. Come on. You put a hedge about them. And somebody comes up to you and says, well, that's not for today. You go, no. Sorry, you can't come past the hedge. This hedge is for you. We say, well, I want to walk in love. I don't want to hurt their feet. That is walking in love. Did you know that walking in love is not just keeping everybody's feelings just right? You got to watch that in today's society. Because our society says, oh, you can't offend anybody. Really? Jesus said he was a rock of offense. That right? A stone of stumbling. Well, you're making them trip up. Well, I'm like Jesus. If it's with the right thing, with the right motive, it doesn't matter. Have you ever tried to live and make sure everybody's feelings are okay? Oh my goodness. You're going to go nuts trying to do that. Don't bother. Walk in love, but stand on the truth. Well, you can't do that. Yeah, we can. Jesus said so. Keep them. Put a hedge about them. If they make fun of you for believing the word of God, you're in good company. And Christians will do this. I've experienced it firsthand. You know, I've been in another denomination before I was in this one. And because of where I went to school and things like that, I was, not ostracized, but just treated. There's certain things I wasn't allowed to do. They just wouldn't let me. You say, did you get hurt about it? No, I just did my job till I was done. I thought it was hilarious that when they tried to talk to me about it, we'd go to the scripture and they didn't have a scripture. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, then you don't believe the Bible. And you know what then comes next? Well, you're just arrogant. Actually, if you don't believe the Bible, you're arrogant. But they will always accuse, the enemy will always do this, they will always accuse you of what they are guilty of. But I'm in a safe place because I'm standing on the Word. Did you say, did you stop loving him? No, I still love him. I still love him till today, forever. We just disagree in that area. And so what did you do? I disagreed agreeably. I disagreed agreeably. I loved it. I mean, there were times where these people were experts on Rhema and they had never been there. And I went to school there. I sat in the class that Kenneth E. Hagin taught. I was there. I heard the words that he was saying. But yet these ministers who had been, around knew more. They knew better. Okay, then you know better. I guess because I heard him, and usually it's repeating something that somebody else said that somebody else, you know what I mean? It's never real. Finding these words is this. Finding is to acquire, to encounter, to learn, to detect, to fall in with. I love that. I'm going to fall in with healing. What happened to you? I fell into healing. I fell in. Don't pick me up. I like this world. Don't pick me up. Well, you fall in, you're searching, you're looking, you're knee deep in healing scriptures. Come on. Then you're waist deep in them. And people are going, oh, they've fallen off the deep end. No, I fell into the greatness of who God is, the promises of who God is. And what he has promised me, and I don't want out. I don't want to be picked up. I don't want it. I don't want to go back that direction. to fall in, to be encountered. I like that. I'm going to encounter healing. To be lighted upon, to be discovered, to be gained, to be secured, to be in the possession of. I am in possession with intent to distribute. I do not want to just carry a little legal amount that won't get me in trouble. I want to carry so much that I could be arrested and charged with distributing healing. Right? So much of God, I'm in possession. Hallelujah. Okay? So you find them. You keep them. After you have planted your seed, you believe it is growing before you see it grow. This is faith, which is the evidence of things not seen. In Christ, we have perfect evidence for faith. Any man or woman can get rid of their doubts, listen to this closely, by looking steadfastly and only at the evidence which God has given for our faith. Okay? Any man or woman, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your education is, I don't care about your age, I don't care about any of that, if you can read, if you can hear, if the evidences of faith are presented to you, anybody can get rid of their doubts. Anybody. It's just how much attention are you going to give to it? How much attention? Seeing only what God says will produce and increase faith. This will make it easier to believe than to doubt. I love this. Because see, as Christians, sometimes we think, I don't know, it's really hard to believe. No, you can get so full of the word that it's easier to believe than it is to doubt. Well, that's a big promise. Yeah, but it's not my promise. It's God's. So if you're depending on you to do it, yeah, you're going to be in trouble. But if you're depending on the seed, come on, how hard is it to grow a piece of corn? All you have to do is plant the seed. Who's doing the hard work? The seed, the ground, the God of increase. God's the one that gave it the ability to grow. All you have to do is put it in the ground and water. And trust, right? Listen to this. For the evidences, this will make it easier to believe than to doubt. For the evidences for faith are so much stronger than those doubting. Listen to this. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. God is reliable. Okay, God is reliable. Doubt your doubts. Just doubt them. Just doubt them all over the place. When the enemy comes to you and says, oh, this is never going to work. You're never going to do what God's called you to do. You just say, I doubt it. Yeah. Oh, your family's going to fall apart. Your kids aren't going to do this and that. I doubt it. I doubt it. I believe it's working. I believe it's working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Word of God is working. It's affecting every area of my life. Why? Because I give my attention to it. I doubt my doubts and believe in the truth. I doubt my doubts. Don't doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts, for they are unreliable. Oh, what a means of blessing is the look of faith to Christ. There is life, light, liberty, love, joy, guidance, wisdom, understanding, perfect health, in fact, everything. In a steadfast look at the crucified one, no one ever looks in vain to the great physician. No one ever looks in vain to the great physician. Do you know why a lot of times people don't have faith? It's just they say they've not been taught. The preacher didn't. They got up and gave their opinion and their experience rather than the Word of God. You want to know why? Because it's a fearful thing to just give God's Word. You want to know why? Because then it looks like, how am I going to make this happen? I don't have to make it happen. All I have to do is give it. I don't have to make it happen. This is not dependent on me.
It's not, the pressure is not on me. The pressure is on God. And how, God, you think God's under pressure? But that's what's happened, because what happens is people get into teaching experiences rather than Scripture. Now, in every area, you understand there are truths. There is truth in every, almost every denomination. That's a true Christian denomination. But there are areas where the Word of God is completely void. I'll put it to you like this. It's like if you planted a field, and in that field was the Word of God, and in the seed of the Word of God is what was planted there. And if you could divide it into sections, peace of mind, salvation, joy of the Lord. Come on. You know what? I could make a joke. I'm going to go on. I just had a thought, but I'm going to skip it. Healthy families. Come on. Healthy marriages. And you have these areas in these, and there's you could just picture these fields, and in some denominations, healing, there's nothing. It's just dirt. Why? Seed was never planted. Seed was never planted. All right, this year we have a harvest at this season. Who's going out to the healing field? No need. We didn't plant any. We got an abundance of corn. Well, why? Because we planted a lot of corn seed. But I wanted beets. Well, you should have planted beet seed. I just don't understand why God doesn't do what He said He would do. You know? Mm-hmm. You got to plant the seed. You got to put the seed in. You don't put the seed in, no harvest. And that's why it doesn't work. Hundreds of passages talk about healing. I mean, Paul, or the proverb says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And there is scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that declare these things. He who trusts Christ has no need to be ashamed of his confidence. Time and eternity will both justify his reliance. I'm in a safe place. Well, it's not popular. It will be. Don't worry about it. Why? Because, listen to me. People can drive by a farmer field and go, and you, it's as simple as this. You could have a group of people that say, we don't believe in corn. this is theological here. We don't believe in corn. And you can have one farmer that says, I'm going to plant corn. And people drive by their field, and he could have planted the corn. And people drive by the field and they go, see, there's no corn there, I told you. No corn. Yeah, I'm gonna plant. I planted corn. It's coming. I planted the good corn, the regular corn, and the sweet corn. Oh, we don't believe in corn. There's no corn. We've never seen corn around here. There's no such thing as corn. All we have to do is what? Wait for the seed to grow. And then you can have fields of corn. And people will drive by and go, you know what? Maybe I do believe in corn. You say, why would you say that? Because this message is not popular in Billings. But just wait. The word never fails. And when people are eating corn, whoo, they're going to go, let's plant more corn. Especially sweet corn. Mmm. Well, we believe in corn now. It's in the supermarkets. It's so popular, people sell it off their tailgate. So healing can become so popular. Why? Because it's seed. Seed always produces a harvest. I cannot be ashamed. If I just trust the Lord, it doesn't matter what other men do or whether they like me or not. I don't care whether they like me. I'll still pray for their healing, even if they hate me. Why? Because corn tastes good. Right? Corn tastes good. Yeah, healing's nice, but people, I don't even believe. You know, let me just say this, and we're done. But let me just say this. You know, during the healing revival in the 50s, did you know healing was so rampant in the church? Rampant. I mean, we think of rampant, we think of diseases and stuff like that, you know. But God, when there's a sovereign move of God, it's sovereign goodness. It's not evil. You know, sometimes people are like, whoa, you know, that, you know, an earthquake happened and it was a sovereign move. No, it had nothing to do with God. That was the devil. And so, but when it's a sovereign move of God, like in the sense of just a mass outpouring of compassion. In other words, their faith had nothing to do with it. The Bible says that multitudes were healed. Just like that. Boom. The healing anointing. God's hand just sweeps through an area and just heals a bunch of bodies all at once. This was happening in America in the late 40s and early 50s. And stuff went on, and yeah, there was failure, and the enemy will always point out all the failures, but there were genuine healings. And it was so desired of the people in the churches that the denominational churches had to start praying for people. Their people would come to them and go, look, I want you to pray for me for healing. And they're like, we don't believe in that. They said, I don't care. If you don't pray for me, I'm going to go over to this other place. And so what do preachers do? Because they're afraid that they're going to lose their people. I don't live that way. But they're afraid they're going to lose their people. So what do? They pray for them. And you know what happened? The people got healed. The people got healed. Well, we know it wasn't because of the faith of the preacher. You say, what are you saying? The seed's planted. If the corn grows, the people will eat. You should be thankful. You're in on the ground floor. We're the ones that are sowing financially into the field right now. So guess what's coming? I'm going to have a harvest. How about you? Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We know it's working and it's effective. You're so good to us, Lord. We resist the enemy. We yield to your word. We incline. We focus. We turn to. We hedge about this word and we keep it, Lord. Knowing that you're faithful. Knowing that you're good. Knowing that harvest is coming. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you guys. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.